Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, from right here in fabulous Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where it is like 80 degrees and the sun is shining. And not that the weather outside changes anything, but I'm loving life. I love summer. It's my favorite time of the year. That being said, today my smart person is Lindsay Brownson. She is a coach who helps overwhelmed entrepreneurs reclaim their time and create a rich business and life. She is the host of the Be Brilliant in Your Business podcast, a creative cocktail of pep talks and practical tools to help business owners stay organized and inspired. Lindsay, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Rob. I am thrilled to be here.
Absolutely. So I'm thrilled to have you. Let's kind of talk about this from like your backstory, okay? So I'm assuming if you're helping other people that are dealing with overwhelm, that does that mean that at some point in your life you were feeling the same kind of overwhelm? Is that how that works? Or is it something that you've had people around you that you've seen, or how does that work?
Yeah, wouldn't it be great to say, no, I've never experienced this. I'm just very good at this. I think the honest truth, Rob, is that I still experience day-to-day stress and overwhelm, and just the experience of being an entrepreneur is very intense. So it's a little bit of, you know, honing into the natural ways that I have learned to deal with and cope with stress in my business. And I would say a little bit of an affinity for organization that maybe other people aren't so keyed into, but certainly a lot of this has come from me saying, like, I have some problems here too. How do I start to solve these?
Yeah, there are, you know, different people's minds work in different ways. My wife is a fantastic organizer, and she, of course, she's a type A person where she needs to have a plan for everything. And I'm a little bit more relaxed and a little bit, but going through experiences, you know, just being an entrepreneur, you learn, like, the cool thing is developing and appreciating the gifts of the people around you. And so what I'm kind of hearing from you is your ability at organization and your ability in kind of motivation is something that you're then sharing with other people. And that's kind of the gift that you bring into the world. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm a creative person at heart. So I have always loved kind of both the creative and the analytical or the strategic components. And so I think that's something that that really lights me up, is figuring out the puzzle of how do I take these big ideas and turn them into something that's tangible.
That is fantastic. Let me kind of jump into this. And that is, I'm thinking, a lot of entrepreneurs are busy, and they feel like they're busy all the time. And that is kind of a badge of honor to say, like, I've got this business and it keeps me busy, and it keeps, like, I nose to the grindstone. There's always stuff for me to do. And the feeling of stress almost becomes a badge of honor, if that makes any sense, to say, like, yeah, this, I'm busy and stressed out because I've got this business that demands it. And what's your reaction to that concept?
Yeah, I mean, I entirely relate to it. I believe that most of us we've been brought up in a society that really does glorify hustle culture and busyness. And, you know, I think that the experience that we have, so there's kind of two ways of looking at it. There's no way around, as a business owner, having a lot of things to do, right? But we didn't start businesses so that we could be working harder than we would have ever worked in a job, right? This is not the intention behind starting a business. We started a business to have a life that we love. And so it's really important that we find the ways to keep that balance for ourselves in our day to day, because at the end of the day, what is the point then? If you are stressed out and busy, and maybe you're achieving everything that you want, except for the one thing that really matters, which is your happiness.
Wow. Okay. Tell me more about that, because I think what you highlighted there is so important that we can get, I think I saw a saying somewhere that says, don't get so busy earning a living that you forget to make a life, right? That it sounds like we can get so wrapped up in our business that we actually begin to neglect what is more important. And that is, our business is there to support our life. And if we invest all of our energy into our business, then we're missing out on something. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that there's, it's sort of a complex problem that we are looking to solve here as entrepreneurs, because on the one hand, we have been taught for most of our lives, if not directly, then very indirectly from media messages and just the culture that we're in, that that achievement comes from how much time you put into something, how much effort you put in, or how smart you are, how talented or smart you innately are. So we've sort of got this this impossible standard that we're trying to live up to as human beings of what we think you're supposed to be as a successful person. And then on top of that, we have the reality of running a business, which is that, you know, for most of us, we start out on our own or with a very small team, and we're scrappy and we're in startup mode, and we're really just trying to do as many things as we possibly can to get this thing off the ground, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that there's, you know, there is some truth to the necessity behind that. But I think those two pieces combined, this mindset, this belief system that we have around our value being based on our time and effort, and then the reality of what actually goes into starting a business, those two things are just like a cataclysmic cocktail of overwhelm.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Okay. So is it, I think what I'm hearing you say is that the stress, the busyness of running your own thing, that we've been trained to view it as a positive, and you're saying it can actually be a problem, not just for your life, but it can actually be a problem for your business. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. Yes. So I highly recommend that we put our happiness as our top priority in our lives, right? So if for no other reason than to make yourself happy and to live a healthy, rich life, this is something that you want to figure out. Busyness is not the way to get there. It never will be. But if you simply want to approach this from looking at, you know, what's the impact of this on my business, then absolutely, being overwhelmed, stressed out, and busy all of the time is a problem for your business. And so kind of the way that I want to frame this is this idea of productivity. So we associate productivity with action taking, with the things that we're doing. And we tend to quantify it or judge it based on how many things that we're doing. And so this is where we've really learned to glorify multitasking, overcommitting ourselves. And like you said, that badge of honor of, you know, I'm everywhere at the same time. I can do all the things. I can be this superhuman entrepreneur. So we've built this belief system that the more we do, the more valuable we are, or the more success we will have in our life. And so we think that productivity is about this action, but productivity is actually about the outcome. The word productivity is about what you are producing. What is the end result?
You hit it on the nose. I love it. Tell me more.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the end of the day, or at the end of the week, or the end of the year, what did you produce? And this one simple shift in how you think about productivity versus from what should I do to what am I producing? This can help you so much in prioritizing and frankly eliminating the busy work and the unnecessary activities from your business and from your life as well. So that's my first tip, is to really reframe how you think about productivity, how you define it. So to answer your question, Rob, the problem with this busyness, it really boils down to decision-making. So as humans, we tend to make very poor decisions, and I'm using that word poor on purpose. We tend to be very short-sighted, and we tend to act against our own best interests when we are in a negative emotional state. And that's what stress, overwhelm, that both of those things are negative emotional states. And what sets us apart as humans and what is absolutely necessary for us today to be successful in this world, because things are rapidly changing, they're changing every single day, it's necessary for us to be innovative. It's necessary for us to be creative, visionary thinkers, which means that we're thinking ahead and thinking toward our future and toward long-term benefits. And then the short-term decisions that we make are in alignment with that long-term benefit. And so that's the place that we need to be in as humans, but specifically as entrepreneurs and for our business. And when we are in that state of stress and overwhelm, especially when it's a patterned behavior for us, we are not able to tap into that innovation or into that creative visionary thinking. And we tend to make very bad short-term decisions. So this is how it hurts your business quite a lot.
Okay. You've given me so much to unpack there. Okay. And all right. So let me highlight a couple of things. Number one, you talked about, you know, happiness being the goal. And do you remember, I don't know if this story is true or not, but there's a story about John Lennon, when he was a kid, his mom told him that happiness was the goal in life. And so he ends up in like first or second grade, and they ask him what he wanted to be when he grew up. And he said, I want to be happy. And so the teacher was like, I don't think you understood the question properly. And his response allegedly was, actually, I don't think you understand what life is about. So the importance of happiness and happiness being a goal makes sense. What you said about productivity, I'm thinking about this. I'm an author and I'm a speaker, okay? And so I can be extremely busy selling books one book at a time. And I can go out and I can sell, book, you know, and I'm making, you know, whatever it is, selling my books for $10, and I can sell a bunch of individual books for $10, or I can get a school to buy a bunch of my books. And now instead of making, you know, 50 individual sales, I can do one sale that covers, you know, 200 books, or I can do a presentation where I'm bringing in, you know, even more. And so the question, just because I'm busy doesn't mean that the end product that I'm producing is all that, you know, all that meaningful. And I may be, the product may be less than what it could be if I was putting my energy into a different area. So, and then the last thing, you began to talk about like emotions and the way that your emotions are connected here. So can you, I'll just stop right here and say, from the three things that I just mentioned there, anything that you want to pick up and run with?
I want to say I'm delighted to hear you talk about that example of productivity and that end result. So when you are able to tap into that higher level thinking, right, which takes capacity, it takes energy for you to step back from the busyness of saying, like, if I go out 100 times today, talk to 100 people, I can sell 100 books. And really stepping back from that and saying, okay, what's another way that I could go about this that would maybe be in better alignment, right? So you can sell perhaps twice as many books if you're doing it on that mass scale. And that means you're reaching more people. And that means you're having a bigger impact. And so this bigger level of thinking, by looking at the end result, like what is it that I'm really trying to produce, that I'm really trying to achieve here? And what do I think is the best way to approach that versus just the busy way to approach it? So I love that. Thank you for sharing that like very specific example, because that's exactly it. You nailed it.
Cool. Thank you. I appreciate that. Here's what I would like to explore, is a little bit more of this concept, the emotional concept side of what you're talking about. Can you tell me more about that? Like, as far as where your emotions fit in with your motivation, with that productivity, like, how does that all work together?
Absolutely. So the secret of the universe, our emotions have everything to do with everything that we do or don't do, because everything we do or don't do is created because of a feeling. So our emotions are what motivate us to take action. So we think, we have this idea of how we're going to feel after we do something. And so it's our thoughts that create our emotions. Our emotions are what drive those actions. So what we do, and so I love to think about motivation specifically in this way, because again, motivation, I think, is very commonly defined as like the will to do something, the willpower, or the force, or the like, no matter what, this very aggressive kind of forceful energy behind it. But really, motivation is simply what is driving you to take the action that you are taking. And that is always a feeling state. So like I said, our thoughts create our feelings, and our feelings are what produce our actions. And then the sum total of that is how we get the results that we want in the world. So learning how to manage our emotions and our thoughts, because that's how we manage our emotions, this is the thing that will make all of the difference in your life. So for example, if you are unmotivated to do something, it is because of how your brain is telling you you're going to feel after you do the thing. And so many of us, a great example here is like, we will set a goal, a big goal, perhaps for you, we'll say, I like the book example, the goal of selling 50 books. And you have a thought when you're thinking about the busyness. So let's say we're approaching this from your usual way of doing things, which is I'm going to go out, talk to 50 people, sell 50 books, or 100 people to sell 50 books, right?
Right.
So if that's the thought that is driving this, like your action towards this goal, your feeling automatically is what?
I feel stressed out because it's like I've got to find 100 people. And I'm feeling kind of overwhelmed because, like, where am I going to get these people? And so I've, yeah, it's kind of, yeah, it's a feeling of dread almost.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's powerful. So what do you do then when you're thinking, I've got to go do all this stuff and feeling dread?
I look at my kids and I look at my wife and I say, okay, I need to care for my family. I need to put some food on the table. So this is what I'm doing. I'm going out and I've got to get this done to make sure that we can, you know, that we survive as a family unit.
Yeah. Yeah. So you kind of make that decision to hustle then, right? Feeling that state of dread. You're like, oh, gearing yourself up for it. What else do you do? Like, what specifically then, feeling dread, do you start doing?
So, I mean, it's one of those things that, to me, the first success breeds further success. So, you know, and sometimes that you get that feeling during the day, right? And I think everybody might be like this. After you know, there's a formula that I use and say, okay, you need X number of contacts to create X number of leads, and you need X number of leads to create a sale. And so you put that into action. You say, all right, so my goal is I know what my agenda is. I know what I've got to do, but those are analytical numbers. They're cut and dry numbers. They're not real people numbers. So if it says I've got to make 100 contacts in order to make 50 sales, in order to make what I need to do, then if I make 50 contacts and I sell nothing, then there's a really, you know, it's difficult, and you've got to basically push through it. And yeah, so it's looking for the success and capitalizing on the success. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So and again, I can read the energy of how you're talking about this too. And so we have this badge of honor, right, that we wear around being hustled, like, you know, get in there and grin and bear it. And, you know, and I do think that the approach of saying, you know, this is something that my family relies on, that of course is honorable, and that's coming from a really good place, but the motivating force behind it, that feeling of dread, is causing you to go and say, there's a formula and I need to follow the formula. And you don't actually have control. So that's interesting to look at too, right? You have a formula, but it's not a formula that works 100% of the time. It's just a sort of a process to follow and an experiment to run, really. And so it will perpetuate ultimately that the end result is not something that you can say definitively, if I do this, I will get that, which further perpetuates this entire cycle of uncertainty and hustle. And then I have to do more because I don't have control over the result because it may or may not happen.
Yeah. And I think that in there, what you end up with is motivation becomes a transient thing, and it becomes a, you know, like, listen, I'm a motivational speaker, okay? And I actually have been changing my branding to go from your motivational speaker to go to your keynote speaker, because to me, a motivational speaker is someone that can get you, can have an impact on you. But how many times has a message that you heard lasted more, that, you know, the motivation from that lasted more than 3 to 6 months? And mm-hmm. then you need to get a new motivational speaker to come out and inflame you and enthuse you. And I think that what you're talking about, though, is creating an emotional connection that kind of that becomes cyclical in a positive mm-hmm. direction, instead of it always, you know, being like, okay, I slaved and labored and I accomplished my goal, but now, you know, it's Sunday, and that was last week, and now tomorrow is Monday, and I start from zero tomorrow, and I've got to do the same thing all over again, which requires kind of that hype and like, rah, rah, here I go, as opposed to something that what you're talking about seems to be a different sort of push. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. It's intrinsic motivation, and it's coming from a driving force, what feels, like you said, connected, more connected to the purpose, connected to the productivity, the outcome you're producing, than the willpower and the force and the action that you're used to taking in order to try to achieve that goal. And, you know, let's be honest, if that's what you just said, right? If you are hustling, 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 and then you get to Sunday and you're like, okay, gearing up, here we go again. How long are you able to actually sustain that?
26 years.
Yes, so, but not indefinitely.
Right. No, understood. And it's, I love the idea. And part of what I think you're talking about in becoming more productive and having the eye on the goal there is it cuts down on your busyness and on the time that you're spending in your business, and gives you more time to live your life and to make the connection. Because, I mean, yeah, I need to feed my family, but more importantly than just putting food on the table, I need to spend time with them. I need to be part of their lives. And if I'm always chained to my desk and chained to the, you know, the sales process, I'm missing out on what's going on with them. What's your thought about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the best ways to go through this process is to consider at the very beginning, how do I want to feel going through the whole process? If you're going out to sell the books, how you want to be thinking and feeling is probably empowered, probably inspired. It's probably like, you know, you're selling motivation. So you probably want to be high energy, enthusiastic, feeling like this is going to change people's lives. Here we go. Right. So if you're feeling a positive emotion, the actions that you're taking will follow that positive emotion, versus feeling the sense of dread, the actions that you're taking are following that sense of dread. You may still get on paper the same end result, but the entire holistic process of that is more detrimental to you. I call it a net negative than the positive process. When you are able to tap into the thoughts and feelings that drive you from that place of abundance, that drive you from that place of excitement, then you are experiencing the entire process in a completely different way.
Yeah. I had a guest on recently who said, what you focus on grows. Okay. And so sometimes I get the feeling, and I think that I represent many people, that we focus on the failures or focus on the non-sales, okay, as opposed to, you know, focusing on the successes. Because the success is, okay, I know the feeling. I know what the feeling is that I have when I have sold a book, when I have booked a speaking engagement, when I've done these things. I know that feeling, and I want that feeling again. So now I'm pursuing that rather than just pushing through the failures and trying to overcome the failures. You're pushing towards the successes. Is there a, do you see the difference there, or is that making any sense at all?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so a really special tip here is you can feel that feeling anytime. The feeling doesn't come from the result of having that. The feeling comes from the thoughts that you're having when you have that result. So it's something that you can tap into immediately. You can feel that feeling right now in this moment. You can feel it by thinking thoughts that generate that feeling. And when you do that, when you use that as your process to say, how do I want to go about selling these books? Coming from that state of already feeling the success of it, the approach that you take, which again, I think genius example is saying, how could I make one mass sale instead of a bunch of little sales? Those are the actions that you're taking when you're coming from the place of, I am absolutely going to sell these 100 books. I feel amazing. I feel so inspired. I feel, you know, like I'm changing the world right now.
Okay. So do me a favor. And the next time that you're going to like blow my mind like that, give me some warning so I can put like a hat on or something to make sure that the pieces of my head are all like easily collected after you blow my mind. Okay. So listen, Lindsay Brownson, you have been phenomenal. I really appreciate you being on today. If people are looking to learn more about you and about what you're doing, where can they find you?
Absolutely. This is such a fun conversation. Thank you. So you can find me at lindsaybrownson.com. That is my website. I have a podcast called Be Brilliant in Your Business. We do little mini mind-blowing episodes every couple of weeks. So that's a great place to tune in and connect with me. I'm also on Instagram. That's most frequently where I hang out socially. And then I have a gift to give to your listeners if you want me to share that.
Absolutely. Let's talk about it.
Okay. So it is called 30 Day Done. This is a free download book. It's actually a workbook to take you through the process of finishing some of those lingering ideas, lingering projects that you keep putting on the back burner because you're way too busy. And this is the simple process to plan, prioritize, and produce those projects without overworking, without adding any extra time to your day or to your week, and you're getting it done in 30 days. So take you through that process, make it easy so you can breathe again and sleep again.
That's awesome. I will put links to your website, to your social media, and to the workbook as well, all in the show notes so people can happily check that out, connect with you, and take advantage of the workbook. That's phenomenal. Lindsay Brownson, you've been wonderful. It is time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for this, my friend?
I am so ready. Bring it on.
What is your favorite piece of clothing that you own?
Currently.
Or that... it can be something that you used to have that, you know, whatever it is, the favorite piece of clothing from your lifetime is.
Okay. So I'm kind of feeling a little torn on this because I would say my favorite piece of clothing really and truly is a t-shirt that has my husband's company's logo on it, which is a logo I designed back in the day. And I just like, I feel so much love and I'm so proud to wear this shirt and it's comfy. So I love wearing it. I also just bought a few new pieces for my fall wardrobe. And I have a capsule collection. So I only have a few pieces of clothing each season, but I'm wearing one of them right now, this like pink vest. And I just think it's the cutest thing. Well, I feel good in it.
Okay. So two things. Number one, your pink vest is absolutely adorable. So you've mission accomplished there. What is your husband's company? Just we'll give him a shout out here too.
Yes. It is called Benchmark Kitchen and Bath. And thank you. Here in Austin, Texas.
Absolutely. So if you are looking to get a new kitchen or bath down in Texas, in Austin, check them out. What is a pet peeve or annoying thing that other people do, something that just absolutely drives you nuts?
Hmm. Oh, okay. I'm all about self-awareness and, you know, humans, right? Because I'm not always self-aware, but it makes me crazy when people complain about something that someone else does that they are doing all of the time and they just cannot see it. It's like right up there.
Got it. Yeah. Somebody once said that what annoys you most about others is the things that annoy you about yourself. So
yes,
absolutely. Okay. If it is Lindsey Brownson's birthday and you have your choice of what dessert or what kind of cake that you are going to have to put your birthday candles in, what are you putting your birthday candles in that would make this the best birthday ever?
I am kind of obsessed with beautiful cakes.
Okay.
I want something that is highly decorated, that an artist created it. Even better if it's like confetti cake with rainbow colored frosting in a few different layers.
So like, are we going with like a buttercream frosting? And then what, so what flavor, just a funfetti cake?
Yes.
Chocolate, vanilla, does it matter?
Vanilla, funfetti cake, buttercream frosting for sure. I also love cream cheese frosting. I mean, that's okay.
Yeah,
any day.
You can't really go wrong with frosting now, can you?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Lindsey, thank you so much for being here and thank you for sharing. You are indeed smart. You are indeed a person and I appreciate your time being here. For all my listeners, thank you for being here and I will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.